Now we'll hear from the other end of the spectrum, in other words, what the kids towards the parents on Kibbutz Ava Aim. And it's a pleasure to welcome once again Rabbi Taubes. Rabbi Michael Taubes is a Rav in Teaneck and serves as a Rebbe at Yeshiva University. He's been teaching Yoredeya this past year, so all the Smicha students go through him. He's responsible for all the rabbis we have, and one of the people responsible. And it's a pleasure, and as I mentioned, that breakfast this morning really is a last-minute pinch hitter, but I told him I'm sure he's going to hit a home run. So, Bakasha, Rav Taubes.
Not necessarily going to cover all the material in the papers, but I was asked after the booklet was prepared, so that's why this is a separate entity. Like most of the people in this room, I came here this morning to listen to Dr. Pelkovitz, so I was not disappointed, and it's always a pleasure to hear him and share from his insights. Rabbi Kelman just mentioned that I have the privilege to work with Smicha students at Yeshiva University. I was teaching Yoredeya. So to learn Yoredeya, you have to teach about Bas Mechalov, the laws of eating meat and milk, and forbidden mixtures, and all kinds of things relating to the kosher kitchen the rabbi has to know. But what Dr. Pelkovitz provides, as he alluded to in his remarks, in terms of the pastoral end of being a rabbi, is something that our yeshiva, YU, has really come miles and miles in terms of progress and what's afforded to the Smicha students. So I may be somewhat responsible for how they answer the questions about the kitchen, but certainly in today's world, what the rabbi has to know and deal with goes far beyond the kitchen, and I think that's a pleasure to share a platform with Dr. Pelkovitz. I was asked this morning to speak about the issue of Kibbutz Ava Aim, of honoring your parents, which is something we all know about, but as we'll try and go through today, and this style of presentation of this particular talk will be a shiur, traditional type of shiur, going through some classic sources, to try and understand what exactly the Torah says and what exactly the halacha says about the relationship that a child has to have with the parent in terms of obedience. I entitled the shiur Obeying One's Parents, a requirement or recommendation. So everybody says, what do you mean? It says in the Ten Commandments, one of the Aseres HaDibros, in the first source, is Kabed Es Avicha Ve'Simecha, the Shmos Parachov Pasuk Yud Beis. You have to honor your parents. So what do you mean? Is it a requirement or recommendation? It's one of the Ten Commandments. So not so fast, but that's what it says. It's a good point. It says, honor your parents. Not only that, but there's another pasuk that appears a little later in the Chumash, in Chumash Vayikra, in the second source, Vayikra Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Gimel, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, that a person has to fear his parents. Fear in this sense doesn't mean fear in the sense of terror or fright. You have to be frightened, but fear in the sense of reverence. You have to have a certain respect, a certain honor, a certain reverence for the parents. There's honor on one side, there's reverence on the other. So it seems to be an open and shut case. We could end the talk right now. Of course you have to obey your parents. Of course the requirements. It appears in the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, and it appears elsewhere in the Chumash also. As an interesting aside, Rashi comments in the name of the Gemara, you know, if you look at carefully at the first two sources, so when it speaks about honoring your parents, it mentions first, Kabed Es Avicha Ve'Simecha, first it mentions the father. Then when it speaks about reverence, it mentions the mother first. Ish Imo, but why does it switch? So Rashi says, because as a general rule, there are exceptions, and I'm sure Dr. Pelkovitz and some of you can provide many exceptions, but as a general rule, a child certainly growing up has a certain love for the mother, because of her more nurturing personality, the mother sort of generates a certain amount of respect, and therefore has to say, Kabed es avicha, don't forget about your father. When it comes to fear or reverence, at least in the olden days, and probably in some to some extent today as well, the child misbehaves, wait till your father gets older, wait till he comes home, and so on. So therefore, the Torah has to balance it. The bottom line is that both the requirement of Kibbutz Ava Aim and the requirement of Mora Ava Aim are both requirements towards both parents. And by the way, it doesn't matter if we're talking about a son, it doesn't matter if we're talking about a daughter, all these requirements are equal, and that's the way they're presented in the Chumash. The Chazal point out that both of these requirements, kibud, kabed es avicha, and mora, ish imo v'tiro'u, refer not only to our relationship with our parents, but our relationship with God also. The Torah says in the fourth source, Perek Vav Devarim Pasuk Yud Gimel Parshas Veschanan Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. It says we have to have that same word, Tira, is used vis-a-vis our relationship with God. And there's a Pasuk not in the Chumash, but a Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes, in the fifth source, Kabed Es Hashem Mehonecha, the very same word, Kabed, also governs our relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to honor Hashem with our, all of our ability, all our treasure, everything that we have. So the very same words that the Torah uses with regards to relationship with our parents, the Torah uses with regards to relationship with God Himself, the Chum, the Tanakh uses. There's also a prohibition. The Torah tells us to curse one's parents. And there's also a prohibition to curse God. In Parashas Emor, Parakhov Dal of Yikra, Pasuk Tesvav, source number 7. So again, you see a lot of interesting, there's also a prohibition to hit one's parents. That you don't have with regards to God, it's not possible. But again, you see in a number of different places that the Chazal make an equation, and the Torah itself makes an equation between what one is supposed to relate to God and how one is supposed to relate to one's parents. And the Gemara does not stay away from this. The Gemara notices this in Kiddush and Daf Laman of Beis, the ninth source. We won't read inside to save a few moments, but the Gemara says that just like there's a mitzvah to honor your parents, a mitzvah to honor God. The Gemara spells out everything that I said, and the mitzvah to honor parents and the mitzvah to honor God. There's a mitzvah to fear parents and a mitzvah to fear God. There's a prohibition to curse one's parents, a prohibition to curse God, all these parallels. Which the Gemara spells out, and the Gemara also mentions what we said from Rashi. Let's move to the Rambam in source 12 on the next page, where the Rambam, as always, summarized everything very succinctly, and he says as follows in Hilchos Mamrim, Parag Vav Alocha Aleph, the top of the next page, Kibud Ova'im Mitzvahs Asei Gedola. Those who are familiar with the Rambam know the Rambam is not given to hyperbole. The Rambam doesn't usually exaggerate. The Rambam doesn't speak usually in flowery, over-dramatic language. The Rambam in his Mishnah Torah is telling you halacha. So it's interesting. He begins this halacha by saying, Kibud Ova Eim Mitzvahs Asei Gedola. This is a major mitzvahs asei. He's ranking the mitzvahs. It's itself an interesting question. He's ranking this mitzvah. This mitzvah is up there. This is a mitzvah gedola. V'chein Mora Ova Eim. And the same thing with regards to reverence for a parent. And the Rambam cites this Gemara, and he says, just like this Kibud Ova Eim, this Kibud Ova Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So the Rambam tells us this is a major mitzvah. So now we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what is the mitzvah? Okay, practically speaking, every person here has had children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, whatever. You know you're supposed to honor your parents. What do you do? What's the mitzvah? What exactly? I know that on Pesach night there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. So I know exactly what I have to do. I have to have a piece of matzah. I know that I have to listen to the shofar. I know that I have to put on a manitza, put on tefillin in the morning. Usually a mitzvah has a might, what's called in Talmudic lingo, a maisa ha-mitzvah. There's an act of the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Is it a vague kabed, to honor of your parents, inferior? Practically speaking, what do I do, Rabbi? Right? Imagine you're trying to educate someone who's a baal tshuva, someone who's a youngster growing up, and you're telling them this mitzvah, that, oh, keep it of aim. It's a major mitzvah. The Rabbi says, okay, but what do I do? What exactly is it? So this is not my question. It's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara answers the question, source 13, very important. The Gemara says, and it's perhaps surprising, Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Mora, Ezehu Kibud. What is meant by Mora? Mora with an Aleph. What is meant by revering one's parents? What is meant? What do I do practically? So Gemara says, Mora, I'll tell you what it means. Lo Omeid Bimkomo. If your father or mother has a particular place where they stand, let's say in shul, this is their place where they stand, or in the house, a particular place where the parent stands, the child, and child's gonna, doesn't matter the age, child shouldn't stand there. Lo yoshe bimkomo. Many homes at the dining room table and the kitchen table, there's a certain seat the father has, a certain seat the mother has. So the children, or sometimes in the family room, there's a lounge chair or something that one of the parents likes to sit in, that's his or her seat. So that's exactly what you're not supposed, if you're the child, again, doesn't matter the age, you're not supposed to sit in that seat. Now, there's a discussion, not for today, what if the parent allows, the parent is mochel, the parents have, it's all come okay if you sit, a different story. But other than that, the parent, not supposed to sit, the father has a seat, the mother has a seat at the dining room table, that's where they always sit. That's exactly what it means, lo omeid b'mkoma, lo yosha b'mkoma, that's mora oveim. Philo soser es dvarav. You're not supposed to contradict their words. You're not supposed to contradict, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, this makes no sense, and so on and so forth, you don't know. That's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Sometimes that gets a little touchy when you have political discussions in the household, right? You know, kind of the child is of this particular in Canada we have different parties. I'm not sure what the parties here are, but whatever it is, you know, you like the president, you like President Trump, Trudeau. You like, right? Trudeau's the prime minister. You like Prime Minister Trudeau, you don't like Prime Minister Trudeau. Fine, you can have a heated discussion at the table. The Gemara says, be careful. Lo, so, sir, as draw not in that, velo machrio. Don't even support their words. Now, what does that mean? It's again, Chazal understand. Don't support their words in such a way that you're saying, oh, you want to know why you want? I'll tell you why you're right. You're right because, right? You're not supposed to talk that way to a parent. All of that is how the Gemara defines Mora of Aim. What about Kibur of Aim? What does it mean to honor? So Gemara gives interesting examples, examples which actually are more relevant probably to many of us in this room when you're dealing with elderly parents. Machil umashke. You have to provide food and drink for the parents. That's right. So if a father asks me, get me a cup of coffee, can fix me a cup of tea, that's exactly the mitzvah of Kibud Avein. People don't realize that's exactly it. Machil umashke. Malbish umechasa. You provide clothing, a covering. The mother said, can you get me another pillow from there? Give me an extra blanket. That's exactly the mitzvah of Kibud Avein, the Gemara says. That's exactly how the Gemara defines it. Machnis umotzi. Help the parent in and out. Sometimes, again, especially with elderly parents, but even not such an elderly parent, who, you know, wants to hold someone's hand or wants a little bit of help. That's exactly what the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim is. I said it's somewhat surprising, but the Gemara is defining for us what this mitzvah is. And again, if you look in the Rambam in Source 15, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam brings all this lahalacha. This is no secret. This is not. So Kibud Av V'Aim is not some vague thing. Well, we don't have to be nice to our parents. However, I call your attention, we'll come back to it, that nowhere so far did we see anything about obedience. Nowhere did we see that if the parent tells the child, listen, you need to do this now, the child has to listen. I want you to wear your blue shirt today and not your green shirt. That didn't seem to be mentioned yet, so hold that thought. The Rambam, as I said before, is Perek Vav Halacha Gimel. It appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well, Yerideya, not the part of Yerideya that we learned with the Smichas. Yerideya has three volumes. So the third volume of Yerideya is Hilchot, has a many, it's sort of a catch-all section. So there is Kibud Av V'Aim, those who want to look it up, it's Yerideya Simon Reish Mem, chapter 240. And Yerideya teaches with the laws of honoring parents. So let's look at it. The Rambam says the same thing, but we'll read it in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Instead, in 16, so Yerideya Simon Reish Mem Be Yisif Be, Ezeh Moro Lo Yamad Mekom Am Yuchad Lo Lamod Shom Besod, this is a place my father always stands together with his friends and so on. You're not supposed to stand there. Oh, makom yuchrol espalel. Or the father has a particular father, mother has a particular place in shul where they daven. That's their seat. That's their table in the beis medrash. Whatever type of shul you have, the child's not supposed to sit there. Velo yoshev makom yuchrol lahasi beveso, and not in the house. I said before, in the lounge chair in the family room and so on. Velo sosos v'machriyot v'arufanav. I feel omen near and dear Abba. But even to say, my father's right, my mother's right. That you're not supposed to say, we explained before. Velo yikrenu b'shmo. Very important, you're not allowed to call the parent by their name. You know, sometimes among non-observant Jews, among non-Jews, sometimes you hear about children referring to parents by their regular first name. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to call the parent, Chaim or Bill or Ted or whatever the name is. Right? You're not supposed to call by their name. Lo b'chaya v'lo mozo. Not only, even after the parent has died already, you're not supposed to refer to him by the first name. Some people are, maybe familiar. There's a famous collection of halachas by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was nothing to do with Hasidim from the Hasidic era. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei Atosis. So he has, maybe you've come across this before, he has a ruling, which is questionable whether people have to worry about it, and maybe only meant it for his own family, and all kinds of rules, but not to marry somebody who's got the same name. Let's say I'm not supposed to marry a girl who's got the same name as my mother. A girl shouldn't marry the man with the same name as her father. Where is it? The Gemara in Nesteva says anything of the sort. There's no such Gemara. But he wonders, what did Abihuda HaChosid mean by this? In some places, they take that very seriously. A lot of other unusual dinim from Abihuda HaChosid. One of the things he mentions is this. I remember when we were around the YU, so people used to point out that Rabbi Tendler, she lived with Rabbi Moshe Tendler, he married the daughter of Moshe Feinstein. His name was Moshe, and his name was Moshe. Obviously, didn't care, right? On the other hand, the people would know, but Rabbi Tendler, they referred to as Moshe David, M.D. Tendler, Moshe David Tendler. Moshe Feinstein was just plain Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, so maybe the extra name makes a difference. People make a big discussion about where in the world does such an idea come from? Where did Yehuda HaChassid get that from? Some say that no, because if you're going to marry a man's going to marry a girl with the same name as his mother, or a girl's going to marry a man the same name of his young a lady's going to marry a man with the same name as her father, so you're going to call that name, and it sounds like you're talking to your father. Hey Rachel, what do you mean? My mother's called Rachel, so it all rooted in this idea of not using the name, perhaps. Anyway, rather you should say Abba Mori, you should say, Abba Mori, Imi Morosi. Many times we bench, we say, Amishaber, we say, Aracham and Orachas, Avi Mori, as Imi Morosi, right? You don't even just refer to him as father. You say, my father, my teacher, my mother, my teacher, my mentor, and so on. And anyway, all this appears in the Shulchan Aruch. And in Siv Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ezeu Kovod, Machilo, Mashkeo, Mabishu, Machasa, Machnes, Umotz, everything mentioned. Vidnelo Beseber, upon the Ophos. The Shulchan Aruch adds, your father asks you to get you, your mother asks you to get your cup of tea. So it's not supposed to be, you know, you pour a cup of tea, here, have the tea, you know. You're supposed to do it in a cheerful way. You're supposed to, oh, almost like you're honored to do it, not just, your sister's on, like you say, ah, okay, I got to fix the old man, the old lady a cup of tea, so I'll give him. You're supposed to do it, b'sever upon him, yofos. Shafilu machil b'chol yom p'tumas v'arela upon him, yofos. Because even if every day you brought him fine delicacies, but you did it with such a disdain, such a look of, eh, too bad I have to do this, and then that's not right. Okay, so all this appears, as I said, in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara asks, let's move to the next few sources that had a little bit about, you know, about this idea of not contradicting, not arguing. There's some discussion. What does that mean? Let's say you have a discussion. The father and the son are both Rabbanim. The father and son are both doctors. And they have a different way of approaching something. I'm not allowed to say. I'm not allowed to have a discussion with my father or my mother, whatever. I disagree about an important subject. Sometimes you have a discussion in the household, and you see the people screaming at each other. I remember that Dr. Pachowitz, I remember also a couple of years ago, they had a visit to the YU-based medrash from some clerics, the cardinals and the clerics from, from other religions who came to see, and I wasn't part of the group that was receiving them, but one of the rabbanim told me, they walked into the base medrash, what's everybody yelling at each other? These guys hate each other. Everyone's screaming at each other. Those who walked into the base medrash just know. You see in the base medrash, two boys go, you don't know what you're talking about. How can you read the Gemara? You're yelling, screaming, everyone's screaming at each other. That's not screaming out of hatred. That's screaming out of a desire to get to the truth. And they realize that afterwards, they explain to them, they're arguing back and forth. And at the end, they're the best friends. That's how the Gemara says. In such a case, you can have a discussion between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, whatever. Whatever the discussion is, as Rahib Basufa, at the end, because they're coming to a quest of truth. They're not the discussion. It's the Pesach Tshuva, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Pesach Tshuva there in the Simreish Mem Sivkot Nalaf, the Aruch HaShulchan and Sivkot Gimel. Again, I printed it in some of the sources here. And now the question becomes, so what about in other matters that are not related to Torah? What about politics? What about other things? So it's just a stam and interesting kind of discussion. But let's move to source number 22, where the Gemara asks a very practical question. Okay, good. So it's given that honoring my mother and my father means I got to provide them. They tell me to go pick up the suit at the cleaners or go grocery shopping. Sometimes, again, you have teenage kids, and one of the advantages, I guess, eventually, it's nerve-wracking, but eventually the kid learns how to drive, so it's a big help sometimes on Fridays. I work also, in addition to YU, I work in the high school also. So I always tell the boys, in our yeshiva high school, there's no yeshiva on Fridays. So I always tell the boys, on Fridays, ask your mother if you need to pick anything. The boys who are 11th and 12th grade know how to drive already. So ask your mother, do you need to pick anything at the store? Can I do you a favor? Can I go? I said, that's, you know, we're trying to impress upon them to be helpful at home. I tell it to the parents also. I tell you, tell them, your kid, you know, didn't the Rebbe say you're supposed to help out? The kids should help out. It can be a big help. So, okay, so I'm going to go pick up the shopping. I'm going to go to get the chicken or whatever. So the Gemara asks a very practical question in source number 22. Iboilu mishal mi, who pays? Who pays? In other words, okay, I'm obligated to pick up the groceries, to pick up his suit, to get him the coffee or whatever, but who has to pay for it? That's the Gemara wants to know. Okay, so when you have a teenage kid, so you're going to give the credit card, you're going to give him $50 or whatever to go pick up the stuff at the bakery. But sometimes the very practical question, when the parents are older especially, and there are issues of taking care of the parents and you know, getting care and helping the house or whatever it may be, so that is part of the obligation of Kibbutz Avim. We just saw providing for the needs of the parents. If I had to summarize Kibbutz Avim in one sentence, the way the halacha, not the general way people don't realize, but having learned the halacha, Kibbutz Avim means, if I had to use two words, providing service. Providing service. That's what it means. Kibbutz Avim, that we just saw. Kibbutz Avim means providing service for the parents. Okay? So I acknowledge I'm obligated to provide the service. But the question is, who has to pay for that service? Sometimes there's outlay of money. Sometimes significant, who has to pay? So the Gemara raises that question. Mish Abaylahu, it's the very end of, it's a source 22, so it's Lamed Aleph Mabez and Kiddushin, Gohor Lamed Bez Mabez, Abaylahu, Mishal Mi, from whose expense, right? I got to provide the food, the drink, good, I'm going to do it, I'm going to pick up the cleaners. But there's going to be a bill for $65 for all the clothes. Does the child have to pay for that? Can I ask my mother for her credit card and so on? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, "Rehuda Amar Mishal Bain." Rabbi Yehuda answers, "That's part of the child's obligation." Again, child, we're not talking about it. We're talking about whatever age, right? That's part of the child's obligation is to pay for whatever has to be paid for. However, of Nosim Rosha Amar Mishal Av. Nosim Rosha, no, the parent has to pay. The child has to provide the service. I have to go and pick up the groceries or pick up the cleaners or whatever else, go to the bakery. But as far as paying the bill, if it's the food for the parent, that's the parent that's to pay for it. Orale Rabbon of Yemir, Ramale Breda of Yemir, the commander of Mishal Av. Okay? Mishal Av. So it's interesting because why would you think that the parent, why did the Gemara discusses, why would you think that the parent has to, the child rather has to pay for it? Because remember the equation we had earlier. Kabedes Avicha Vesimecha was linked by the Gemara to that pasuk. I had it back in source number toward the beginning. I forgot already. The pasuk in Mishlei, source number 5. Kabedes Hashem Mehonecha. We're supposed to honor Hashem with whatever we have, right? We've heard of the concept of Hidur Mitzvah. We've heard of the concept of Noi Mitzvah, beautifying a mitzvah. We have a sukkah, so you want to put up decorations. Who has to pay for the decorations and make the sukkah more attractive? Me. Right, so Kabbalah says, if I want to buy a talis, many people put a silver attar on the talis, or they buy an expensive pair of tefillin, or beautiful candlesticks to adorn the table, and so on and so forth. That's all to beautify the mitzvah, right? You have a yontif, so the wife sets the table with a beautiful table, beautiful dishes, and so on. Who has to pay? You have to pay for it. You're doing it to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing it to honor Shabbos. You're doing it to honor the mitzvah, but you have to pay for it. So that's how the Gemara suggests, and by implication, that I could say that that's the same thing. Since we had an equation between Kabbalah Savicha Vesemecha and Kabbalah Hashem Mehonecha, you have to honor both in both ways, or both psukim indicate, use the word Kabbalah to honor, and honor we define as providing service. So providing service means, I guess we'd call that full service, right? Providing full service, including paying. Okay, the conclusion is not that way. The conclusion is the Gemara says, we paskin, the majority view is, now the parent has to pay. Okay, and that's how Tosos points out in 24. That's the Tosos in Kiddushin Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Orle Rabbanu Rabbi Yirmiyahu Kemada Mishalob Mashmash Kach Halacha. That's the halacha. It appears that that's the halacha, that the parent has to pay. The child has to do the service, has to pick up the groceries or the stuff from the butcher or whatever, but the parent has to pay, yeah. Excellent. Exactly right, sir. Very good. So Tosos, that Tosos in source number 24 goes on to discuss, and the Rif, the printer, the next, but many of the Rishonim discuss, but there is a difference. What if sometimes the child has made a lot of money and the parent is destitute, doesn't have the money? So that's an interesting point. The Gemara, so all things being equal, Tosa says, the halacha is that the parent has to pay for it. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay, however, the Tosas goes on to say that if the parent doesn't have any money, so then it's no different than any other person I'm required to give tzedakah. Right, I have to give charity to someone else in need. So charity begins at home. So I have to give charity, you know, to my parents. It's no worse than the other case of tzedakah. That's how Tosus points out. So it's a very good point. The Rif also points that out. And so the Rif is Yud Gimel with Aleph and Yud Gimel Beis there in Maseches Kiddushin. So all of these Rishonim are sensitive to that. Let's look at the Rosh, because he says it clearly. In Source 26, the Rosh is Parak Aleph Siman Nun. Rush writes very clearly always, Tanar Abanan, Ezel Marv Ezel Kibbutzi, he says everything we said, and Ibailu Mishomi, Rabbi Huda Amar, and so on and so forth, and Vechein Hilchos, so the third line of 26, the halacha is that the child has to pay for it. Vechein Pasuk Vishultus, also, Shultus, many says like that. However, he says, Va'av Lesle, if the Ben has Va'av Lesle, then Kafin Leben. But then you force the child to even pay for it. So that's halacha, and that appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well in Siman Reish Mem Sifhei. In fact, it appears again in Siman in Hilchot Tzedakah. What I just read to you is from Hilchot Kibud Av Aim, but also in Hilchot Tzedakah, the Shulchan Aruch paskin said almost like Shulchan Aruch says, a curse, you're going to let your parents live off of charity. You're going to let your parents, you have money, and you're going to let your parents live off of off of the public or off of charity money. That's not right. The Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Chazal, that a curse should come on somebody who's, let's look at it again succinctly, the Shulchan Aruch Nesiman Reish Nun Aleph V'Yerodeh, you look in Sif Katan Hey 29, the Miyado Maseges Tovo Me'era L'Mishim Mefarnes is Oves Mimo Tzedakah. Not only shouldn't you let the parent live off the tzedakah, But you should not deduct that as your tzedakah donation. As I said, well, figure, you know, I can discharge my tzedakah obligation by giving to my parents. They're in need. It's not right either. They don't like that. But now comes a very interesting question, a fascinating story. I don't have as many stories as Dr. Pelkowitz has, but there are some good stories that appear in the Chazal also. So, I mean, he tells many from Chazal, but there's an interesting story about Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. That's the introduction to the next group of sources based on this Gemara. When Reb Chaim was in the Volozhin Yeshiva, so there was a Talmud there, and the Talmud was learning there. He received some sort of a telegram or a letter from his father, who was back home in whatever shtetl he lived in, and he asked him, he said, not feeling well, he wants him to come home. He wants him to come home, you know, from the yeshiva and to be with him. So the son basically sent a note back to his father, okay, you can come on this and this date. Please send me a train ticket, you know. And the father said, I'm not sending you a train ticket. I'm telling you to come home. You have to come home. So the Talmud knows that train tickets weren't so cheap, not cheap now either. So the son came to, the young man came to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and said to him, my father asked me to come home. And I understand that that's the mitzvah kibbutz. He needs help. He needs service. I got to provide him with the service like we discussed. But doesn't the Gemara say, don't we conclude lahalacha that it's mishal av, that the parent has to pay? So my father should have to pay for the train. I shouldn't have to pay for the train ticket myself to get home. Am I not correct? And Reb Chaim answered him, you are absolutely correct. Your father, you are not obligated to pay for the train ticket yourself. You can walk home. Oh, it's more convenient for you to take the train. Oh, well, that's your business. So that's the story. This is there's a very fascinating sefer called the Ishim Veshitos. Rabbi Zevin, Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Dr. Steinberg, who's here, is the editor-in-chief now of the Encyclopedia, among his many other important contributions to Klal Yisrael. He's the editor-in-chief of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, the so-called Talmudic Encyclopedia, which is about halfway through the Aleph Beis. I think there are 40 volumes now. But that project was started by Rabbi Zevin. Rabbi Zevin was a great Talmud Chacham, originally from Russia, lived in Eretz Yisrael, a very fascinating person. Some of you may be familiar with the book, Ha'amod and Ba'alocha, Art School Translating the Festivals in Halacha. Not that it needs my haskama, but I tell people it can be read from the biggest Talmud Chacham to the beginner. He just writes so beautifully and so clearly, a wonderful, wonderful work. Anyway, so Rav Zevin has a book called Ishim Veshitos, where he has collected stories about 8 or 9 Gedolei Torah of that late 1800s, including Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So he tells this story that he told the student, oh, you want to pay for it, you don't have to walk home? Then you can pay for the ticket yourself. So there's two versions of what did he mean by that? Was he telling him just Musser? Don't be such a whatever. Your father asked you to come back, to buy the train, you go back, you'll work it out with him later. He was just giving him Musser? Or was he saying halachically? So very interesting. What could be the halacha? So T. Pesach Frank was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in the kind of mid-1900s. I think he died in the 1960s, I think. So T. Pesach Frank has a tshuva. And so now we come to the next source, a very interesting, unlikely Gemara. The Torah says, in source number 30, Parshas Emor, Vayikra Perkav Dalet, Potser Kav Alev, Umake Behema Yishalmena, Umake Adam Yumos. Okay? If you beat a Behema, so then you have to pay damages to the owner of the animal. I hurt your dog, I hurt your cow, whatever, so I have to pay for the damage. Then it says, Umake Adam Yumos, but if you beat a person, you're put to death. So Rashi comments, what do you mean? You beat a person, you put to death? Just you hit him? So first of all, Rashi, afilu lo harago, even if you didn't kill him. Just, hainu lo harago, ela oso bo chabura. You caused a wound that basically drew blood. And we assume, the doctors obviously all know, when you draw blood, doesn't mean you draw blood, even make a black and blue mark. That means you drew blood, just didn't come out of the skin, right? But it came up. So that's not allowed. But Rashi tells us very quickly, but that's not talking about any person, it's only talking about a parent. If I hit my parent, okay, in such a way that I draw blood, or I even cause a black and blue mark, so you violate, and that's what it says in the Mishnah in 32, Hamake over imo enochayva chiyase ben chabura, if you cause a wound to open in a parent, you're obligated. And they connect it to that pasuk about the animal. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin paid dalam and beis, again, which I'll say outside, but what if I'm working on the animal for the purpose of helping the animal? I'm a veterinarian, right? So I'm trying to cure the animal of this problem. I don't really heard. When I got back to Umalist, I turned on the news. It had some story, a tragic story about a whale. Anyone see this? There's a whale, I guess, somewhere around here. There was a whale caught right off the coast. Something got entangled in something or other, and there was this fisherman was trying to help the whale. He actually was able to got the whale free. The whale didn't realize. The whale then killed the fisherman. It was a headline news just last night. So sometimes a person, let's say, is doing what he has to do to help the animal. So the Gemara says if it's done refua, so if I, let's say, I'm treating the parent, I'm treating my parent because I'm a doctor or I'm a dentist or whatever. So sometimes when you have an operation or you work on something, you draw blood. So that's also not allowed. We just said you're not allowed to draw blood from a parent. You're not allowed to hit. What if I'm doing it for the ultimate health of the parent? I'd have to extract a tooth or whatever type of medical treatment. So there the Gemara says, no, that's allowed. The Rambam in Parakeh Halacha Zayin 35 talks about makis dam. Well, they presented last night. They used to think they're called bloodletting. They used to think that bloodletting was, I'm not a doctor, but I understand they had the right idea, right? They knew that disease traveled through blood. That's what they were right about. But they thought if you got some of the blood out, you'd get the disease out also. That's where they made it. In a certain sense, they had the right idea, no? But in any event, they thought you'd let blood. That's called akazas dam. So that's done for medicinal purposes sometimes, for refuah. So let's say a parent is in need of medicinal treatment, and that treatment, that operation, is it the case that the child shouldn't be the one to... So the Gemara seems to say no, that if it's done for medicinal reasons, then it's allowed, just like with the animal. If I'm a veterinarian and I harm the animal for the purpose of ultimately helping the animal, so that's allowed. So that's what the Rambam says. But the Shulchan Aruch says the following, if you look in Source 36, Reish Mem Aleph Yodeh Siv Gimel, Hoya Kotz Tochov La'aviv. My father, my mother had a thorn. That's the example, a thorn stuck in a splinter, stuck in his or her finger. So if you ever taken a splinter out, usually it's the other way, the parent is taken out of the child, right? So you take it, you draw blood, and that's what happens, right? So the Gemara said you shouldn't, the Shulchan Aruch said you shouldn't do it. Lo Yetziena Shema Yavo Lasos Bo Chabura. Because maybe you'll draw more blood than you need to. Enachanami, the medicinal, the medical treatment that the child's allowed to do, but let's say he's going to cut too much or go too far and so on, he's going to end up causing getting more blood. Okay, v'cheinu makis dam, or rofe, all these things, you shouldn't do it. Lo yachtoch bo ever, sometimes you need to have a limb amputated. Okay, a person has a disease, God forbid, that's a limb amputated. So the son, the daughter, is a doctor, and is going to perform this operation, but they're going to amputate the limb, so it's going to cause more blood. Maybe you'll cut too far, you'll cut too much, and so on. So the Shulchan Aruch says, afal pi shemechaven l'refuah, even though your intent is for refuah, it's for medicinal reasons, it's for medical health, the child shouldn't be the one to do it. The Ramo adds, hagoh, b'med ramum b'shiyeh sham achelasos. That's if there's another doctor who can do it. However, avalim ain sham achelasos, whom it's dire. But if there's no other doc, I can't tell my father, I can't tell my, so I can't take the thorn out, live with it for a while. In 3 days, we're going to find some guy, I'll take it out. No, they're going to be in pain all that time. So Harach said, this is only a precaution. In other words, since it's being done for medical reasons, then certainly the child can perform the operation, can extract the tooth, take the thorn out, take the splinter out, whatever the medical need is. If there's somebody else around, so then, of course, there's another doctor who could do it just as well. Then you let the other doctor do it. It's interesting, before I go on to T. Pesach Frank, just to interrupt myself, I remember when my mother-in-law, Alayah Shalom, was living with us. She was sick towards the end of her life. So my daughter, happens to be a nurse. And my mother-in-law naturally assumed that her daughter was the greatest nurse in the world. Maybe she is. I also think she's a very good nurse. She didn't want some other nurse. Someone else could have given her the shots. But she trusted her daughter more than she trusted Stam a doctor, Stam a nurse. She felt her daughter would take better care of her. So the question is, we had that shot. Can this is exactly the question. You give a shot, a medication, so there's going to be some blood and so on and so forth. So somebody else could do it. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Someone else can do it just as well. Yeah, but 1 second. But the patient is more trusting, or the patient feels more comfortable with their own child doing it. So does that take into account? The answer is yes. In that particular situation, for sure. If the patient has more of what we call yishuv hadas, it's a very important point to bear in mind in general. The patient's, and again, the doctors here can tell you, right, the patient's well-being, the patient's psychological state, I mean, if you know, was discussed at the previous session, if knowing what's going to come in some traumatic situation, if that can help. So you can imagine if I feel very comfortable with this doctor, you know, we don't want to go to a dentist and we shake, he said, hello, nice to see you, and he's shaking, you know, you don't want to say, want that dentist. Not going to engender a tremendous amount of confidence. But if I have my own daughter, my own son is the doctor or the dentist or whatever, I feel good. So then it's allowed. That's exactly that. So I'm just clarifying that the Shulchan Aruch, if the patient doesn't really care, the patient, I'll give the flip side of the story. The flip side of the story, one time my father lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he was with us one time and he needed treatment, so he thinks my wife's also a good nurse, but he's fine with other nurses as well. So in that case, we thought he shouldn't give, but an interesting Shaila, I asked Rav Shechter about this one. My wife was working that time in a hospital setting, so she could bring home the shot. If my father would have to go to have the shot done by the doctor, so he'd have to spend 2.5 hours schlepping to the city, finding, you know, parking the car or taking the bus or waiting, and then going to the room and going here, the whole procedure would be 6 hours from beginning to end. My wife could bring home the shot from work, the whole thing we'd done in 20 seconds. Is that enough? You know, so that was also the psak I got. That was also okay. That's also the well-being of the patient. So it's not just, you know, you don't look at it in a limited sense. You have to look at the whole picture. But in any event, getting back to our issue, so Ritzvi Pesach Frank was asked the following shaila in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin of Chelek Eredeya, source 37. Ritzvi Pesach Frank had the following situation. It was a dentist. Imbein Rishoy Lahamid Aluka La'aviv. Nishalti Merofa Echlemuto Lahamid Aluka, I think it was a dentist. He's talking about some kind of a bandage and so on. And can the son be the one, that was a case he had, can the son be the one to treat him? So on the one hand, you should argue, well, if there's someone else who could treat the person just as well, the Shulchan Aruch says, let somebody else, let one of the other doctors in the practice, or one of the other dentists in the practice take care of the patient. And let's say the patient is fine either way. But now the question is, one second, who pays? Who pays for the, if the son's going to do it, right, or the daughter, whatever, who's the doctor, the dentist is going to do it, it's not going to charge the father. But the other doctor, you know, next door, the other dentist next door, he's going to charge. So it may depend on this story with Reb Chaim, with the boy coming back to visit his father by train. Why? Because if Reb Chaim was just telling him, Musa, go back to, but let's say he wasn't telling him, he's telling Halacha. He's telling the son, listen, your father's not obligated to pay for your train ticket because that train ticket is your convenience. You don't want to walk back from the yeshiva all the way to your son. It's your convenience, that's your issue. So the same thing one could argue says of T. Pesach Frank here. Why doesn't the son or the daughter want to give the bandage to the father? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, because you may draw too much, that's your problem. That's not your father's problem. That's not your mother's problem. Not the patient's problem. It's the treater. It's the person administering the treatment's problem. Memela says of T. Pesach Frank, maybe in this particular case, the son or the daughter, who's the doctor or the dentist, whatever the case was, will have to pay, not only shouldn't do it himself or herself, because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, but should have to pay for the other doctor. Because the only reason he or she is not doing it himself is to save himself the issue. That's not my father's problem. That's my mother's problem. So it's an interesting question that comes up based on that story. Okay. Now, again, so far we've seen about honoring parents and providing for them and so on and so forth, but we still didn't see, what about, again, the question of obedience? So in order to answer that, we have to come to a famous conflict that the Gemara presents in Kiddushin, source 38, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Elozer ben Masi Omer, Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim. Here's the following case. My father says, and again, I said before, it doesn't matter if it's father or mother, son or daughter, it doesn't matter. The example the Gemara gives, Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, Umitzolasos, right? Maniach ani kvod Abba, Umitzolasos. But there's another mitzvah I have to do right then and there. Right? Now I have a conflict. What do I do? Do I provide, get the drink for my father, or do I do the other mitzvah? So he says, Maniach ani kvod Abba, Vosses HaMitzvah. I may push aside the fact that I'm supposed to honor my parents and do the other mitzvah. Why? Shaniva Abba Chayav Mitzvah. Because both of us have to do that mitzvah. In other words, there's a mitzvah to be done. The mitzvah is more global. We'll get to specific examples in a second. But Isi ben Yehuda Omer, but Isi ben Yehuda said, one second. Im Efshel leMitzvah Sadeh Cherim. But if that other mitzvah could be just as well done by somebody else, then let the other mitzvah to somebody else and I should honor my father. What's the case exactly? What is the case exactly? And that's the halacha. The Gemara says the halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda. So this enters, as the Rif and the Ran points out, there's a whole discussion in halachic terminology called Osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Let's say I'm involved in mitzvah A, and all of a sudden now an opportunity to do mitzvah B comes along. What do I do? So we have a general rule called Osek B'mitzvah. If I'm involved in mitzvah A, I'm exempt from mitzvah B. Right? There are many examples of that. Comes up in Sukkah, various other places. So the Gemara has the following here. The Gemara seems to say that honoring parents is a very fine mitzvah. But, and the Rambam said it's a tremendous mitzvah. But if there's another mitzvah that I can do, apparently honoring your parents gets pushed aside and you do the other mitzvah unless the other mitzvah can be done by somebody else. That's what it seems to say in that Gemara. And then the Gemara goes further. Let's move to 42. The Tanya, Yochol Yehei Kibur Ava'im Docha Shabbos. One second. Let's say my parent instructs me to do something which is in violation of Shabbos. This comes up, by the way. It comes up with Bali Tshuva and so on. I've been involved in such cases myself. The parent wants a child to do something which is Chil Shabbos. So the Gemara goes back to that original Pasuk. Talmud Lomar, Ish Imo Vav Tirov. You look back in source 2. The Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim draws a parallel. It says, yes, there's a mitzvah of Ish Imo Vav Tirov, but Ves Shabsosai Tishmor, and the Gemara's expression, Yevomis Taf Hei 42, Kulchem Chayav Bichvodi. You know, it's like you have the general and the sergeant. Okay, the sergeant, you're a private. The sergeant gives you orders, but then the general gives orders. So the orders in the general take precedence over orders in the sergeant. So the private has to listen to the general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the general. Parent is like the sergeant. So the parent, I'm the private. So the parent gives me a directive. I have to listen. But if his order is countermanded by a higher, what's a commercial? I have to answer. We answer to a higher authority, right? I have to answer as a higher authority. Okay, so if there's a higher authority, listen to the higher authority. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, sounds like the reason this is so is because the pasuk itself says ish imo v'tiro v'shabsosai tishmor. The pasuk draws the equation. What if the pasuk hadn't drawn the equation? Why in the would any of us here have thought that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to honor your parents? This guy, my parent told me just to violate Shabbos. My father said, go turn on the light. Why do you need a special? The Gemara says the pasuk links. Why do you need such a derivation for? Obviously, I mean, I just gave the example about the general and the sergeant. It's obvious. But the Gemara has to have a whole derivation based on a pasuk. Isn't that an obvious situation? So the Gemara expands in Bava Metzia. Second paragraph of Bava Metzia talks about the laws of returning lost items. So Tana Rabbana, look at 44. Minayin shim omar lo abim hitama, o shomar lo al tachsu shlo yishamalo, shlo yishmalo. Let's say my father tells me, I see a lost wallet on the floor. I'm walking the street here, Rue Sherbrooke here. I'm walking down, I find a wallet. I open up, there's identification. So I want to be able to return the wallet. And my father and my mother tells me, forget it, just drop it. Oh, no, there's a mitzvah called Ashava Saveda. We're talking about has the address, has the identification in it. So the Gemara says, what do I do? Do I listen to my father? My father tells me, don't return it. Or the Gemara says, let's say the child's a Kohen. Right, so the father says, go into the Beis HaKvaros, go into the cemetery. Someone says, what do I do? Someone says, no, you don't listen. Again, because of the same pasuk. Well, the pasuk draws a link between honoring your parents, honoring God, God comes first. But again, I ask you, obviously, why in the world would I think that if I find a lost item and there's clear identification, I find here in the hotel, I know it's someone from the conference, and my father was here, he told me, don't return it. I don't have to return it. Of course I have to return it. And again, in Talmudic language, what's the havamina? What's the thought to think otherwise? So we take a look. The Rishonim are bothered by this. And starting in the source 47, Tosas, the Ramban, the Rashbor, all the regular Rishonim say, no. It's not that the parent tells you, just stam, don't return the item, go become Tomei, violate Shabbos. No. They tell me, I need you to do something for me now. In other words, don't return this lost item. I want you to go across the street now and get me a cup of coffee. Oh, now there's a conflict, right? Or the father says to the child who's a Kohen, I really need a fruit. There's a field over there. There's a tree over there. Go get me an apple from that tree. And it happens to be right by the cemetery, right? In other words, now there's a conflict. Why do I bring this in? Because when there's no conflict in halachas, of course that God comes first. But now I have competing values. I have to provide my parent with service. And the reason I'm bringing this in is to show you again that the essence of kibud av ha'em is providing service. Obedience doesn't come into the discussion. Okay? Of course I don't have to listen to my father if he tells me, don't return this lost item. Stami tells me, don't return it. Of course I don't have to listen. Torah says I have to return it. In fact, there's no conflict because I'm not required to listen in the sense of obedience anyway. So all these were shown him there in Kiddushin, and Yevamos Davov, Kiddushin Alman Beis. Again, I quoted Tosas, the Rabban, the Rashpo, the Rich Voy of Time. You can keep these sheets if you like and look it over. You can see yourself. They all say, and each one has their different nuances, but basically the idea is that when my parent tells me to do something that they need to provide that service, and providing that service will involve me in a violation, now it is a conflict. So for that, I need the Gemara to tell me, one second, there's a pasuk. And the pasuk says, yes, ish imo vav tiro, have reverence for your parents, but veshav sosa tishmoro. But you have to keep Shabbos. In other words, God comes first. In an ordinary case, I don't need it. No conflict. So what comes out from what we're saying here? A parent simply telling a child, I don't want to disappoint any parents here, you don't have to share this with your children if you don't want to, but if you tell your child, don't wear the green shirt, wear the yellow shirt, okay, the child's not really, we haven't seen anything so far that would indicate that the child has to obey. It's not nothing to do with obedience. Obedience doesn't come in. Obedience is not a conflict. Obedience isn't required so far. Okay? But that's what that's what emerges. What is it? What's the issue? Providing service. When do I have to provide service? Whenever the father asks me, whenever the mother asks me. Well, what happens to that service now conflicts with something else? So that's a discussion that we have in the Gemara. So let's look to summarize this point at 51, the Rambam, and then move to conclude. The Rambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Beis, Hilchos Mamrim, 51. Mi she'amar lo'aviv lavor al divrei Torah. If a child, if a parent, again, it says father, it means any parent, tells a child to violate him the Torah, bein she'amar lo lavor al mitzvah lo saseh, whether he's telling him to violate a prohibition, o levatel mitzvah saseh, or just don't do this mitzvah, afilo shel divrei, even though it's only rabbinic mitzvah, okay? Hareza lo yishmalo, you don't listen, okay? Shenemar, yishmal v'tovah, again, the same source. You all, kulchem chav mechvodi, you all have to honor me. Halach yud gimel, now I have a conflict. My father says, get me a cup of water. And I have another mitzvah. Now there's a conflict. Because what's that? That's not obedience. That's service. I have to provide service. So I have to provide service. Now I have a conflict. So then the Rambam says, well, now it depends. Can the other mitzvah be done later? Can somebody else do the mitzvah? Right, that's a different story. Sometimes it can delay the other mitzvah by 15 minutes to take care of what the father or the mother needs, and then the mitzvah will still be there. That's a different situation. It appears as well in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudea. Now, the fact is that sometimes there are conflicts. And again, the psychologist here will tell you all about the conflicts. Conflicts between parents and children, nothing new. We did not see anything about obedience, and therefore, we look at 53, the Trumas Hadeshin, Simon Mem. This was the question that he had in his days. You can all come up with your own examples of nowadays. She'elo, let's look at 53. Talmud rotze lotzeis medinaso. Okay? The young man wants to go learn in a different city, a different town, a different country. Lilmod Torah lifnei rav echad shehu boteach shesim brach lefonav. He wants to go learn by a different Rebbe. He wants to go for Shana Bet or Shana Gimel or whatever it is that you, right? We have these cases come up all the time. In the Trumas Hadeshin's time, this was that idea, right? The child wants to stay in the yeshiva, he doesn't want to come home. So that's what it has over here. And v'yizke b'talmud lilmod himenu. V'aviv mochebo b'tokef. And the parents don't want him to go with Shana Bet or whatever. Don't want him to go to the yeshiva. And the father says, my son, if you go there, it's dangerous, right? I'll be worried. It's a bad neighborhood. There's a war. There's terrorism. Whatever. Okay, again, as I said, these questions come up nowadays with our young men, our young women who want to spend the year in Eretz Yisrael, or more than a year, or stay, or go here. Shmuel Hadeshin has the same question. What's the story? So he writes, Tshuva Yerod Ein Sarach Lishmo Kihai Gavna Oviv. That's open. The child doesn't have to listen. Now, he doesn't say this. I don't sure the parents have to pay the tuition bill. Okay, but let's assume for a moment that the child, again, at the appropriate age, can say, okay, I'm staying in Eretz Yisrael. We have it all the time in our communities, right? Suddenly the kid wants to go to the army, and, you know, it causes great conflict in the home and so on. So Mr. Deschen says, again, writing 800 years ago, the child, Yeroa, the Ein Tzorach Lishmoa. Okay, you don't have to listen, because Talmud Torah, he seems to stress that Talmud Torah comes first. Here's another case, the Maharik, Simon Kuf Samach Vov. Source 54. Son comes home with a certain girl. Or the girl comes home with a certain guy. And the parents aren't that thrilled with the shidduch. And they say, you're not letting you marry this guy. I'm not letting you marry this girl. What's the story then? Right? Again, these are not new cases, but that comes up, right? The parents are not happy with the shidduch. Yeah. Very important. Very important point, we'll come to that at the very end. Okay, I'll come to that at the end. So hold the thought. The question was, what about Akar Satov? So Akar Satov is a value, there's no doubt, but it's not, but perhaps, at the moment anyway, it's not under Kibbutz per se, maybe more general. We'll come back to that in a second. I'm just sure the Maharik discusses that about, again, if the parents are opposed to the wedding, they don't have to pay for the wedding. But if the child, right, but if the child decides, that the young man, the young woman decide, they're allowed to decide. That appears in Shulchan Aruch. We see in 55. Okay, in the very end of Hilchos Kibud Avim, Sim Reish Mem Sif Kaf Hey, Ima Av wrote to Lasharis Aben. Talmud Sherot to Lalechas Lamakom Acher Shu Botech Shira Sim and Bracha B'Talmudo Lifnei Rav Shasham. V'Avid Mochabal If Yishadoig Shavoso Ira Ovid Kav Malilim Goyim Start Up. There's trouble. The father doesn't want him. The mother doesn't want him to go to that yeshiva and so on. Eino Tzarich Lishmol B'Zed says you're enough to listen. And the Ramah says, likewise, if the man to marry a young lady and so on, you don't have to listen in these cases either. Now, I should mention as a side point, so that's a strict din. Why? Because it goes back again. Obedience is not the issue. The issue is providing service. However, let's just mention the back. What about other factors? What about Hakaras HaTov? Very interesting. First of all, the Netziv makes a distinction. Why do the stam don't like the shidduch, or there's a bizoyon, there's some sort of a, you know, it'll be embarrassing, that's another factor. But the pasuk and parshas told us, right, the first time we find parents directly sort of telling, right, children about marriage, so Yitzchak Avinu, right after he gives the bracha to Yaakov, the end of parshas told us, 57, calls Yaakov over, Vayikru Yitzchak Yaakov, Vayvarach Oso, Vayetzaveu, Vayomer Lalo, Sikach Yisham, and Oskanan. Well, what did he tell him? Don't marry a girl from around here. Don't marry, go back to my, to my uncle, love him, et cetera, et cetera. Don't, not that it's so great there, but, trouble there too. But don't marry a girl from this neighborhood. Basically, that's what he was told. So the Torah Temima is bothered by that. What do you mean? Why did Yaakov have to listen altogether? Right? Since when? The dinner is not that way. So obviously, there are other factors involved as well. There's a notion of Akar Satov you mentioned, but there is, at least according to some achonim, the Maknan Kiddushin, which is one of the sort of the classic yeshivish form they learn when they learn Kiddushin, it's really called the Sefer HaMikna. That's a phrase from Navi. The yeshivas, they call it the Maknan. So the Maknan, also we keep Eger, I didn't print on the pages, but we keep Eger as a tshuva about this, that basically, one second, first of all, not everything we said is automatically true about obedience. Because some suggest, that's the Machna Avisu 62, but some suggest the following. Remember we said before about not contradicting their words? Rekiva Eger says, one second. What is the idea of providing service? It's to give the parents nachas ruach, right? To give the parents peace of mind. So, not allowed to contradict their words, but I can contradict their by action? So you put all that together, there's some who say that is included on the Kibbutz Avayim. I want to give full disclosure. Both the Machna, and the Machna brings a raya, because he says that a woman, what if a woman is supposed to serve her husband and then the father asks for something at the same time, there's a conflict. So the Machna points out, they learn it out from Mora Avayim, but what do you mean Mora? If I'm not allowed to sit in this seat, I'm not allowed to sit in that seat, so I won't sit in my husband's seat, I won't sit in my husband doesn't sit in his wife's seat, wife doesn't sit in her husband's seat either, I can also at the same time not sit in my father's seat. Why is that a conflict? So apparently, that's how the Machna says, that there's more, there's Kibbutz Avayim that can apply in such a situation. But besides that, the Orcha Sadikim points out that with Yaakov Avinu, it's questionable. Did he absolutely have to listen to the father when the father said, don't marry a girl from this neighborhood? Well, als kibbutz av ha'im, no. However, als the relationship with his parents, als a debt that he had to his parents, okay? Look at the last source 64, I'll come back to Abarbanel to finish up. Yaakov was all everything he did in that whole story, right? He disguised himself. He didn't seem to want to go along with it, right? All because his mother said so. That wasn't service, but she told him to do it. So nisratzel imo, but nisratzel ishmoel avil imo lochachish al kapiem lochain zochav yotzmi shom snei mishal shvatim. Yaakov was bechira avos, right? Yaakov was the greatest of the avos. Yaakov fathered the 12 tribes and so on. It's because he understood that maybe, says Zeruch HaSadikim, that on a technical level, this is in Shara Ratzon, on a technical level, maybe he wasn't obligated. But when you're dealing with parents, there's a lot more than a technical level, okay? And that the Abarbanel makes a very interesting point. Well, this will finish the question. Abarbanel, in his commentary on the Seres HaDibros, which is what we started with, the Abarbanel notes, and many people note this, you know, we have a tradition that the Seres HaDibros were written five Dibros on one side and five, and even though the words are not even, the first five Dibros are longer than the second five Dibros, right? We have a tradition, the first five Dibros are Ben Olam Makom, and the second five Dibros are Ben Olam L'Chavero. But 1 second, Kibbutz Av Ha'Im is number five, what's it doing on the first side? So Abarbanel and many others, many point out that our entire religion, our entire connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is based on what we got from our parents. Our Mesorah, our tradition. So that's why it's on the side of Ben Olam Makom. Because without a relationship with parents, without a relationship with a father, with a mother, then the whole Mesorah goes down the drain. Dr. Pukowitz alluded before, he said very often the religious when there's a divorce, right? One of the first hits, and again, I had limited experience in this myself as a rabbi, one of the first things that take a hit is the religious level. Why? Because our whole religion, our whole Mesorah, Shalavichav, Yagencha, etc., etc. Right? Everything's based on the Mesorah. Well, when I'm disappointed in parents, and when I'm hurt by parents, and so on and so forth, so one of the first things to go is the religion. And so therefore, yes, Kibbutz Av Ha'Im belongs on the Ben Olam Makom side. If it belongs on the Ben Olam Makom side, then it's not going to be evaluated only by the technicality of providing service and so on. Then even obedience, okay, which again, technically may not be part of Kibbutz Av, but so I'm answering your question, it's Hakar Satov, it's more than Hakar Satov. I'm trying to get to. So at the end of the day, we want to encourage our children to obey. However, and this is the key, you can't be overbearing. It's not technically you want to keep it off aim. It should be done when we educate our children, grandchildren, and some students, and so on and so forth, anyone we want to be an influence on. It's because we're trying to do it for their ultimate good and our ultimate good as Klal Yisrael, not simply as a power game, not simply as a means of saying, oh, you know, I want to lord it over you. I'll show you who's in charge here. Right? That you have to walk that fine line. Technically speaking, obedience, as we saw from all the Rishonim and based on the Gemara, is obedience is not part of Kibbutz Av Ha'Im. In the broader sense, yes, we want to obey our parents. We want to have that kind of reverence and that kind of respect because that's what our whole tradition is based on. That's why it's on that side of the Dibros, says the Abarbanel. But the parent has to present it that's why he's guiding or she's guiding the child in that regard. Okay, so this overview, there's a lot to talk about, but I'll take a couple of questions and we have the next session. Yeah. Yes. John mentioned the Hilchos Mamrim means the laws of rebels, which is very, very strange. You know, the Hilchos Kibbutz Av Ha'Im in the Rambam is in a very unusual location in terms of what it's around. And it's around, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the whole concept of the laws of rebels means people rebel against the Torah authority. And so that's what Kibbutz Av Ha'Im is there. Yeah. Right. That's an excellent question. Love is hard to mandate altogether, although we do. We have Yahavta Lecha Kamocha, and some of you have Yahavta Mesager. I mean, love is an emotion. How do you mandate that altogether? But it's a good hour. Yes, I'm in the back. Yeah. Yeah, So leaving, he was to honor his parents, but he was gone for such a long time, he didn't have the opportunity. So you're saying, yes, in the general sense, all 20 plus years that he was gone, He was honoring his father, but it wasn't the same as the day-to-day service that the brother provided. The brother provided the service, yeah. Yeah, so that's a very important. It's a very broad question. And it's a very important question. A parent that's abusive. I just had some of my shul, father passed away, and it was very, very difficult. It wasn't actually abusive to her, but abusive to her mother, and eventually abandoned her mother. Got a whole mice, and she didn't really want to sit shiva. Okay, she didn't really want to sit shiva. That was the last word she ever spoke to her father, said to her was, "I don't want to see you ever again." You know, so you can imagine that kind of relationship. Nevertheless, she did sit shiva because that is the din. There is still a din of kibbutz of aim, but nonetheless, that's going to play a different role. That plays a role in terms of. It's not simple. Again, the din is still the din. Hopefully, but it's an important question. It's really more than we have time for now. Yes, it's the same question. Again, technically speaking, there is an obligation. Technically speaking, now, if the parents, there are certain things, it's a broad subject. In general, let's move in general to mitzvahs halacha havero. We have a concept in halacha called osa maisa amcha. The person has to be a decent person, has to follow the religion. So there are exceptions. But maybe another time we'll have an opportunity to talk about that. Okay, so I'm getting the sign. Oh, there's another session. Oh, okay, so again, the idea is that if the parent was abused and the parent has forfeited that relationship, so there's an obligation there's still an obligation for the child, but there's a way to, they finish. Okay, so we'll take one more question. I'll try and, yeah. Got it, yeah. The Chazal say that to a certain extent, the person who taught a person is considered like a parent in terms of the respect that you have to have. So right after the laws of kibbutz avim, the law of kavod rabbo, you're supposed to have respect for that person also. Yeah, quite the same, but in some ways, even a higher level of respect, in some ways. No, that's also service, really. Yeah. Obedience in terms of the halachic rulings, but not that's not because of your obligation to honor, that's because the person, you have to find someone who paskins your shilas. It's not the, not one and the same. It's someone else. I'm sorry. Yeah. Adoptive parent also is an important issue. Again, it's a very important area, adoptive parents. So again, there the Hakaras HaTov element is more. Strictly speaking, there's no shiva by an adoptive parent. Most people do sit shiva by an adoptive parent. But strictly speaking, you don't have to. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. To that, I think, okay, I was thinking more from that car, so yeah, I acknowledge. Good. Okay, I'll be around Shabbos, we can talk further. Okay.